I wish I was about 20 years younger. I see myself moving in slow motion now. I still like to play sports and stuff, but I always, this last time I was playing basketball, I made a move and I thought, boy, I used to be a little bit quicker than that. Age has a way of humbling all of us, doesn't it? But you know, with age also comes wisdom. And I'm glad for all the mothers that are here today and the wisdom that they have brought to our lives and in our church as well. I'm sure you've heard of Irma Bombeck, and she has some very famous quotes. I'd like to talk about some of those this morning that she has concerning mothers. She says, "When your mother asks, 'Do you want a piece of advice?' it is a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no, you're going to get it anyway." Everyone is guilty at one time or another of throwing out questions that beg to be ignored. But mothers seem to have a market on the supply. For example, do you want a spanking or do you want to go to bed? Do you want to save some of that pizza for your brother? Was there any change? We've probably all heard these. This one is some pretty good advice for those of you that are not married yet. Spend at least one Mother's Day with your respective mother-in-law before you decide on marriage. If a man gives his mother a gift certificate for a flu shot, dump him. My mother phones daily to ask, "Did you just try to reach me?" When I reply no, she adds, "So if you're not too busy, call me while I'm still alive," and hangs up. Today would be a good day to call your mom. And then she has the more serious ones too, and she said, "I wanted to go to a place where you were important and people listened to what you had to say." Mothering hadn't done that yet, and yet, wouldn't it be ironic if my turf yielded the most important commodity being grown today, a family? A crop of children seeded by two people, nourished by love, watered by tears, and in 18 or 20 years, harvested into worthwhile human beings to go through the process again. I like this one. She said, "Giving birth is little more than a set of muscular contractions granting passage of a child. Then the mother is born." Never thought of that way before. But when the birth of a child, the mother also is born into motherhood. And then it's not until you become a mother that your judgment slowly turns to compassion and understanding. The mother in our story this morning is a mother of deepest compassion. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to look today at a mother of great faith. Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin with verse 22. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him," that's Jesus, "saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to again honor the moms, but also to hear from your word. Lord, as we have worshiped you this morning, may our hearts be prepared now for the word of God as it comes into our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, perhaps there is no incident as puzzling as this account that we just read this morning. It is puzzling, and yet there are some deep, profound truths there that we can learn for our lives. Does anybody in this room have a need? Anybody have a need? I think it's just about all of us, right? Have some kind of need or another. And some of your needs might be very important ones. Major needs, perhaps, in your life today. And perhaps you're here today and you don't even know how that need could possibly be met. Some people could be looking at family problems. Some looking at financial difficulties. Some are looking at problems with a child. And you know, especially I think for moms, when your children hurt, you hurt so deeply. You would take whatever problem your child has and you'd gladly take it on yourself if you could. Some are looking at your parents and realizing they won't be here forever. We could stand here all day and just not exhaust the kinds of problems that you may be facing today. But in the midst of your problems, you need somebody to help you. You need somebody that you can turn to for a solution. You need God. And you need God to work in your life. You don't need him to lift every burden, just the heaviest. You don't need him to move every mountain, just the tallest. You don't need him to give you the whole loaf, just a crumb. And that is the situation that we find today with a woman looking for a crumb from Jesus. She is a mother who is in a desperate situation. She needs something in her life. She comes to the Lord as she does. She's not looking for a whole meal. She's looking just for crumbs. And she's asking for Jesus to move in her situation. I'm praying to you for you today that your needs are met. I'm praying that this especially touches the hearts of the mothers that are here today. It's just a little bit of a background here as we get the setting for this passage. Jesus had just spent some time with the Pharisees and the scribes. His disciples were there also. There was a multitude of people there, and Jesus was teaching about what it means to be clean and unclean. And he says that there is nothing in and of itself that is unclean. He told them that defilement, uncleanness comes from within. The message was simple. It's what is in the heart of a man that determines what that man truly is. And so there is a great contrast here. Jesus talking to the religious leaders about what makes a person clean. They should have been clean, but they weren't. They looked good on the outside, but they didn't look so hot on the inside. This woman that came to Jesus was considered unclean. She was a Gentile. But she didn't look clean on the outside, but she was clean on the inside because of her faith. And so there's this contrast that is before us. And as soon as that encounter that Jesus had with the religious leaders is over, he and his men go to Tyre and Sidon, which is the heart of Gentile territory. Jesus rarely went into the heart of Gentile territory, but he did on this particular day. And once again, they tried to get some rest from the pressures of ministry, but we're told that he could not be hid. That's always the case, right? You couldn't hide Jesus. Wherever he went, multitudes searched him out and found him. Jesus was kind of like a mother. You know, he'd try to go somewhere and get some privacy, but he was always found out. Right, moms? Kind of hard to get some privacy. Your kids always find out where you are. And when Jesus is in a person, when he's in a family, when he's in a church or wherever, he simply cannot be hidden. Word will get out that Jesus is in the house. And that's why we should do everything that we can here to ensure and create an atmosphere that people realize that Jesus is here, so they will come and search him out and he can work among us. But in this text, we see this burdened mother as she locates Jesus. She finds him out. She finds out where he is, what house he's staying at. And she begins to petition him for the help that she needs. But she faces several challenges along the way. But she persists and she eventually gets what she came for. But as I bring this message to you this morning, I hope that you understand and realize that there is hope in any situation that you find yourself in, and that God has the solution to every problem. So let's look, first of all, at the mother and her request in verses 22 through 24. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Interesting. Jesus always answered people that came to him. But he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away." There's a couple ideas. Some people think the disciples were saying, "Jesus, just heal her and get her, or give her whatever she's asking for and get it done with and send her on her way." Others think they just skipped that part and said, "Let's get rid of her. Jesus, get rid of this woman." That's what I think that they were saying. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The reason this woman came to Jesus was because she was concerned about her daughter. The child was demon-possessed. Was probably acting out with violence and anger. She needed help, and she needed help in a desperate way. It may be that this demon was causing bodily harm to the child. That was the situation in the case of another demon-possessed child earlier on in Matthew chapter 9. And Matthew 15:23 tells us that she cried after Jesus. The word means to shout after another. It's the idea of a loud, persistent shrieking even. She was heartbroken over the condition of her child, and she was determined to get the child help, the help that she needed. So she would not be silent. She cried out to Jesus. Mark tells us in his account of this story that the woman had heard of him, had heard of Jesus. Perhaps she had heard about how Jesus had healed all manner of disease, about how he had opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf, about how he had driven demons out from other people. She may have heard about how Jesus had gone over to the country of the Gadarenes and had delivered a man possessed by a legion of demons. And she may have said and thought to herself, if Jesus could deliver a man from a legion of demons, 1,000 demons, then certainly he could deliver my child from one. From the grip of one. So she came to Jesus because faith and hope had risen in her heart. Perhaps you're here today and you're dealing with a child that is out of control. Perhaps you are at your wit's end over a situation in your life and you need help. Perhaps you have exhausted every means at your disposal and just don't know where else to turn. Who else to turn to for help? But whatever the need in your life may be today, you should learn a lesson from this woman. And the lesson is really simple. Get that need to Jesus. Take that need to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from taking that need to Jesus. Because whatever problem, question you have in life this morning, the answer is found in Jesus. He can move your mountain. He can meet your need. He can touch your loved one. You name it, he can do it. But you have to get it to him. You have to get to him. And don't be afraid to call on him, because after all, he invites you to come. You don't have to bear your burden alone. You can bring it to Jesus because he cares and he can help. And so we have this mother and her request. And then the second thing that we have is this mother and her resolve. In verses 25 through 27, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.'" So this woman, she comes to Jesus. She doesn't get the response that she desired. Jesus didn't say anything to her at first. He just carried on like he ignored her, like he didn't hear her, like she wasn't even there. And so she doesn't give up, though. She has some obstacles that she's going to face. We face some obstacles in our life when we come to Jesus as well. There are some obstacles to our faith. And some of the obstacles that she had to overcome to get and secure her daughter's healing took a great amount of persistence, because everywhere she turned, she was met with resistance. And yet she persisted until she achieved her goal. So look at some of the obstacles that she faced and overcame by faith. the obstacle of race. Matthew 15, 22 tells us that she was a Canaanite. That revealed two things about her. First, she was from a cursed people. Remember when Joshua led the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites were, they had been commanded to be totally destroyed. Second, she was from a region known for vile religious practices. And actually, this woman was a woman who were looked down on in those days. So she had three strikes that were against her right away. She was a woman, she was a Gentile, and she was from a cursed people. The obstacle of race. And then she faced the obstacle of religion. She came to Jesus and called out to him and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here she was, a Gentile mother crying out to a Jewish Messiah. And Jesus gave her the response she deserved, and I'll tell you why later, but he answered her not a word. The obstacle of religion. And then the obstacle of racism. When the disciples heard this Gentile calling out to their Messiah, they react by telling Jesus to send her away. They wanted nothing to do with her. She was not one of their people. In their eyes, she was different. And being different was enough to justify them not caring about her at all. And then the obstacle of rejection. First, Jesus simply ignores her. It's as if he turns an indifferent ear to her cries for help. And then he tells her that his whole purpose in coming to this world was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. And when she persists, Jesus tells her that she's a dog and does not deserve the children's bread. The disciples rejected her, and now it appears that Jesus is rejecting her too. And then the obstacle of reality. The situation that she finds herself in is harsh. Her daughter was possessed by a devil. She was a member of a doomed race. These religious men didn't seem to care about her and her situation at all. It appeared to her that her situation was hopeless. You may have cried out to Jesus. I'm sure that you probably experienced a situation in your life, I know I have, when you cried out to Jesus and at first there was no response. It's like he didn't hear you. And you wonder where he is. And at times like that, we feel like giving up. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you that God's silence is not an indication of God's unwillingness to meet your need. Just because God might be silent right now doesn't mean that he doesn't want to meet your need at some point. Your faith may be tested, it may be tried, and God is putting it off for a time. But just because he is silent doesn't mean that you need to be silent. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. Just because God is silent doesn't mean you should be silent. You should keep praying. You should keep persisting. You should keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Often God's silence tempers our faith to remind us that he's on a different schedule than we are. So what obstacles are you facing today? Persist in seeking the Lord. And in his time, you can see the barrier. You can see those barriers fall. Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God, but what it takes to stop you from receiving from God. Did you catch that? Oftentimes, we stop persisting before we got the answer. And if we would keep on being persistent, the answer would come. So faith gives up too quick. A lack of faith gives up too quickly. It gives in too easily. And so is there something in your life you've been praying for, you've been asking God for, and you've stopped because it appeared that God has been silent? Is there something that has stopped you so that you are no longer asking? What you need to do today is not let anything stop you and persist and go on asking God for what you need. because that leads to the opportunities of faith. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 27, it tells us this, "But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." You see the word first there? Let the children first be filled. That was exactly what that heartbroken mother needed to hear. Jesus did not say, you cannot have what you are looking for. He said, I've come to the children of Israel and they must be filled first. She took that to mean that there were seconds that were available. And she wanted to have the seconds. She was satisfied with the leftovers. You see, these obstacles that were thrown up by the Lord Jesus were not put there to discourage and defeat this lady. The obstacles were put there to let her faith grow. You watch the progression. In Matthew 15, 22, she calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. She receives no help there. She had no right to appeal to him on that ground. I want you to understand that. She's a Gentile. She had no right to appeal to Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. The messianic prophecies had a divine format. Jesus came to the Jews first and foremost. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. Jesus here could not heal a Gentile who had taken the position of a Jew. She had appealed to him from the position of a Jew. And the lost sheep of the house of Israel was the priority of Jesus at that time. She had no right to claim these messianic promises. I'm just going to throw this out here this morning. I have heard people use this scripture about Jesus coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to justify becoming Jewish. But I want you to know that Jesus ignored her when she tried that because she was not Jewish. She had no basis to approach him as a Jew. There was a way to approach him. She found that out. But I just want to throw that out this morning. If you realize that, why would anybody who's a Gentile want to approach Jesus as a Jewish Messiah, as a Jewish person anyway, putting themselves back under the law? Since the cross, Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all who come to him by faith, both Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. We're alike in the way that we can approach and access God. And then in verses 24 through 25 in Matthew 15 and also Mark 7, 27, she hears Jesus tell her that his mission on earth is to the nation of Israel. And I want you to see this, because when she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as a Jewish Messiah. She now sees him as her only hope. She sees him as one who is worthy to be worshiped. And in verse 25, she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She humbles herself at his feet, giving him the worship he deserves and appeals to him for the help. She has understood what Jesus said to her. Notice that she drops the part about Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of David. And she just calls him Lord. Lord, help me. You know that heart prayers are short prayers. You don't always have to pray a long, eloquent prayer. Lord, help me, is all it took for this woman here. This is a mother's prayer, and we see this kind of prayer over and over and over again in the Bible. How many mothers have prayed that prayer down through the centuries? Lord, help me. Lord, help my child. Lord, help my family. And that's all it took. And now she hears Jesus in verses 26 and 27 compare her to a dog. By the way, let me add this here. This is, to me, is proof of the inspiration of Scripture, because it doesn't make sense to include this story if you are trying to put Jesus in a good light. Right? It doesn't make sense to make Jesus look bad or not look very good in this situation if you don't understand what he's saying. Most people don't understand what he's saying. You see, the Jewish people looked at all non-Jewish people as dogs. There are two words for dogs, and one was just a mangy, unclean, filthy, dirty mutt. And that's the way, unfortunately, the Gentiles were looked at. But the word here is different. The word here means little puppy. And it doesn't refer to a mangy, dirty dog, but a little puppy that was a pet in the house. It referred to an animal that was part of the family. Maybe you have an animal, a dog, that you could consider part of the family. That's the word that Jesus was using here. Now, here's what I think. I think that Jesus had a twinkle in his eye as he said this, because she immediately catches the meaning. You know, the tone and the look that people use make all the difference. You can say something harsh with a disarming smile. You can call your friend a rascal with a smile and the right tone, and that will take all of the sting out of it, and instead really fill it with affection. We had Tuesday, we had the leadership meeting here, had a friend came by that I had mentored, and he came to the door, and I quickly ran to the door and held the door shut and said, "You're not welcome here," and smiled, and he knew exactly what I was saying. And we just had a good time joking. So when Jesus said this, I think he had a smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye. Do you catch my meaning? Do you catch what I'm saying? That the little puppy sitting under the table while the family eats its meal is hoping and expecting that someone will slip a morsel of food. That puppy can see the food. That puppy can smell the food. It's within his reach if somebody would just acknowledge that he's there and give him a crumb, a bite. And so she says, "I know that it isn't right to take the food from the children's table and give it to the dogs." She understood he was talking about the household pet. She said, "But even the dogs are sometimes treated to a morsel from the table. All I'm asking for is a crumb." She wasn't asking for everything, just a puppy's portion. And the smile on Jesus' face and the compassion in his eyes took away all the insult. And the promise to Israel ultimately does have something to do with the Gentiles. And we all have been brought in today because of the promises to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, also to the Gentiles. So can you see how Jesus took this woman and her small faith and led her along? Helped her faith grow. The obstacles of faith almost always turn out to be opportunities in disguise. And we continue to seek the Lord in every hindrance. We will eventually see that he can meet our needs. And then the obligations of faith. You know, a lot of people would have given up. First, you're ignored. And then other people are telling the one that you're coming to get rid of you. And then you're called a dog. A lot of people would have just thrown their hands up and said, "I tried." And yet, she persisted. She persisted in spite of everything that was thrown in her path. Why did she persist? Because something very important to her was at stake. Her little daughter needed to be delivered. Her daughter needed to be delivered from bondage. Her family needed to be saved. She needed help, and Jesus was the only one who could give her that help, and she was determined to get it. A crumb might be all she could get, but she knew that a crumb from his hand was more than enough. She wouldn't give up until she got what she came for. Which brings us to her reward. The mother and her reward. Verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." I want you to know that Jesus didn't toss around that phrase, great faith. In fact, there were only two people in the entire New Testament that Jesus said had great faith. This mother was one of them. and the other was a Roman centurion, both of them Gentiles. Jesus said to the Roman centurion, "You've got great faith. I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel." And then he looks at the persistence of this mother, and he said, "Woman, you have great faith." And Jesus rewarded her for her faith. He gave her exactly what she asked for. He healed and delivered her daughter. Her faith was so strong that she didn't ask for proof. There's no evidence that her daughter was even there. I think she just took Jesus at his word and turned around and went home to her family and discovered that her daughter had been set free. And Jesus sums up her character in four words: "Your faith is great." So that leads me to ask, what makes great faith? What is it that this mother had that made her faith great? Because I want great faith. I don't know about you, but I think you do. You want great faith? Let's learn what this mother had that Jesus marveled about her having such great faith. First, faith is great if its object is Jesus. You know, faith is only as good as the object the faith is in. Our faith is in Jesus. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Jesus is the object of our faith. Second thing, her faith, let me show you this. That her faith was in Jesus. She calls him Lord every single time. Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord." Verse 25, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me." Verse 27, "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Who was her faith in? Her faith was in the Lord. Her faith was in Jesus. A second thing about faith that makes it great, it was great when it is totally dependent and humble. This mother, she came and humbled herself, threw herself at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. If you want to have great faith, you humble yourself, you throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and you worship him. A third thing that made her faith great was that she was persistent. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give up despite the fact that Jesus pretended not to hear her at first, didn't answer her. The fact that he insulted her, she would not give up. She was persistent. The fourth thing about faith in making it great is that, I already told you this, this is worth repeating. Faith is great when it's not silenced by God's silence. When God is silent, great faith continues to ask and to seek and to knock. And then number five, faith is great when it's found in unlikely and dark places. You know that faith is often found in unlikely places? Faith should have been found in those Pharisees, but faith was found in this Gentile mother. The brightest jewels are often found in the darkest places. It's the grace of God, not our place in life, that produces the greatest faith. In fact, God has made the poor of this world rich in faith, scriptures say. Number six, faith is great when it's not stopped by the insensitivities of others. There may be some who try to discourage you in your faith, but you don't listen to them. Just because they might try to send you away and are insensitive, you come to Jesus. These disciples, they were insensitive. You would have thought that the disciples would have taken her by the hand and brought her to Jesus. Instead, they were insensitive to her need and wanted her gone. You know, it's unfortunate that people will often find Jesus to be more compassionate than Jesus' people. Let that not be said about us, that our Lord is more compassionate than we are. But let it be said of us that we are as compassionate as our Lord. And instead of turning people away, we bring them to Jesus. I encourage you to come to Jesus, especially if you are hurting today. Come to Jesus. Because of the cross, we are not outsiders anymore. We are not household dogs. We are his children. Think with me for a moment about what God can do. Take a look at the things that God has done. There's Jairus. He comes to Jesus and he places his daughter in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus raises her from the dead. There's Lazarus. He's been dead 4 days. Lord, he stinks by this time. But his sisters, Mary and Martha, place Lazarus in the hands of Jesus. Jesus begins to shout, "Lazarus, come forth." And I believe what I've heard. You know why he had to call Lazarus? You know why he had to call him by name? Because every other dead person in every other grave would have came forth. "Lazarus, come forth. Roll away the stone." Look, there's Lazarus. He's alive. Jesus says, "Unwrap him, loose him, and let him go." Here's a multitude of people. They're hungry. They've been following Jesus. They've been listening to him teach all day in the hot desert sun. Jesus said, "We got to feed these people." The disciples, "Where are we going to buy bread to feed so many people? Jesus, we are out here in a desert place. What are we going to do?" Jesus said, "Go see what you can find." They come back. They place in the hands of Jesus just a couple of fish and a few loaves. And Jesus, look, he feeds the multitude, 5,000 men plus women and children. They ate till their heart was content and there was food left over. Here's the disciples out in a ship. A storm comes up. Jesus is fast asleep in the back of the boat. "Lord, don't you care? We're going to perish. We're going to die. We're going to drown in this storm." They place themselves in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus wakes up. And with a word, he calms the wind and the waves. And immediately they make it safely to the other shore. They had placed themselves in the hands of Jesus. A leper comes to Jesus one day. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can heal me." Jesus said, "I am willing. Be healed." And immediately his skin becomes like that of a little baby. Look, there's a blind man with his eyes open. Look, there's a deaf man who can hear. Look, there's a demon-possessed man who has been set free. Look, there is a crippled man and he's walking. Look, there's one up on a cross. He's hanging there. He's dying for the sins of the world. He died. Well, that doesn't look good. They take him down from the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They seal the stone. The Roman guards are placed there to make sure not to keep. Well, they put the guards there because they were worried that somebody was going to come and steal the body. They never thought that the body would come out. But 3 days later, guess what happens? Look, Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. He has conquered death and he lives forevermore. What's your problem today? What's your need today? If Jesus can take care of every one of these needs that I've mentioned and more, John tells us if we could record everything that Jesus did, there would not be enough libraries to hold all the books that were written about him. When you can compare your need to what Jesus can do, if you would look to him, great faith should rise in your soul. Faith should spring in your heart and say, Jesus, I believe. I put my faith and I put my trust in you. And really, Lord, I just realized today that a crumb from your table is more than enough. When the demons come, the only thing, the only answer is the Son of God. And if you and I are going to work for Jesus, the demons will come, not in possession, but they will come to try to thwart the work and hinder us. But the Son of God is greater. Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? So what will it take to stop you from going to Jesus and getting what you need? Is there something that'll stop you? Take a lesson from this mother today of great faith, and don't let any obstacle stand in your way of getting to Jesus and getting what you need for that son, for that daughter, or for whatever that need might be in your life. Learn a lesson today from the woman of great faith, who persisted until she got her reward. She got her prize. She got what she came for. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest and upfront with you this morning, that sometimes, oftentimes, most often, there are obstacles to getting what you want. It wouldn't be great faith if you got it easily. But I'm telling you today that Jesus will take you through life, and through a progression of these obstacles will give you a great opportunity, and your faith is growing whether you realize it or not. Then someday that answer will come. But even though the times where it's silent does not mean that you give up, doesn't mean that God has not heard, doesn't mean that your time will not come. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. If you're here today, you have, before you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment, but you have a need. And that need is something that you desperately want an answer for. And maybe it is for a child. Maybe it's for a son or daughter. Maybe it's for a husband. Maybe it's for a wife. Maybe it's for a grandchild. But there's a need in your life. And today you are saying, I'm going to be persistent in this. I'm going to have a holy resolve that whatever obstacles stand in the way, I'm going to overcome. And I just want to let the Lord know today that I'm coming to him. And I'm asking him to meet that need. And I don't need the whole burden lifted, but I need Jesus to take the heavy part. I need him to do the heavy lifting. I don't need him to move the whole mountain, but I need him to move the part that I can't do. And I don't need the whole loaf, but I need a crumb. Because a crumb from him is more than enough. Maybe you're here today and you do need the whole loaf. Tell Jesus that too. Lord, a crumb in this case won't be enough. Because our Lord is the Lord of abundance as well. And he knows, he can measure out what you need. But you have a need today, and by raising your hand, this is what you're saying. Lord, I recognize that you have a need and I'm coming to you. Like that mother came to you, I'm coming to you this morning. See my hand. And don't ignore me, Lord. See my hand. And would you come and meet my need? Can I have your hands all up? Raise them up to God. Put your faith right there in God this morning. Amen. Hold them up. Let's keep them up. Let's pray. All right? Father, we thank you today that we have a Savior who is also the mighty Lord. We worship at his feet today. We recognize who you are. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All authority in heaven and earth, Lord Jesus, has been given unto you. You are the one that we come to today, the one that is all-knowing and all-powerful, the one who does not change. And we come today as we worship at your feet. We say, Lord, help. Lord, help me. We're not praying some fancy prayer today, but this is a cry of the heart, a desperate cry. Lord, help me. And Lord, we're willing to overcome any obstacle. Only let our faith grow and let that faith be rewarded in your time. And we thank you now in advance for the answer, and we praise you. Every blessing we turn back in praise. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Could I have all the moms please come to the front? We have a little plant we'd like to give you today. And just say a word of prayer over you. Moms, you're a great looking bunch of ladies. And if you're a mom and you can't come, we'll make sure that you get one. But if you want to come up here today, that's fine. But if you want to stay sitting, we'll make sure that you get a. Praise the Lord. I think it would be great if the rest of us could stand. Give them honor. Look at Dorothy. God bless her. So I have already prayed over these ladies a couple times. I'm just going to open it up to you. Any of you men or children out there want to pray for these moms today? Why don't you just go ahead and do that? The rest, let's just stretch our hands toward them and ask God, agree with prayer. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to? Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless them today. Yes, Lord, grant it, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand of appreciation today. And ladies, we'll just let you take a pick of whichever cup you want. And God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day and a blessed year. And then you could be dismissed.